You are listening to the Effective Statistician Podcast, a weekly podcast with Alexander Schacht and Benjamin Pieske, designed to help you reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients without becoming overwhelmed by work. Today we are talking about Wonderful Wednesdays. Learn about visualization every month. I do very much hope you like listening to this podcast. And if you do, please tell your colleagues about this. It's really, really great. I just had a discussion last week with someone at a major company, and he got approached. Have you listened to the Effective Statistician yet? Well, the other colleague was actually in my communications committee and says, well, I'm talking to Alexander in 10 minutes. So, please follow this example. Tell your colleagues about it if you like this podcast, because if we can spread the word more, then this podcast has a much bigger impact and just helps us all to be more successful. And there's really so much to do, and just bringing everybody along will be so, so great. So please tell it. And by the way, if you're listening to this on the browser, you can also listen it through your smartphone. So I see a lot of people listening it through browsers. That's why I'm making the comment. So search for the smartphone, for the podcast app on your iPhone, or install any, you know, podcast players that you can have on an Android. The podcast is produced in association with PSI, a community dedicated to leading and promoting the use of statistics within the healthcare industry for the benefit of patients. Join PSI today to further develop your statistical capabilities with access to the pretty awesome video on demand content library, free registration to the many, many PSI webinars, and much, much more. There's actually just a reduced rate of £20 for non-high income countries and very, very reasonable annual £95 for high income countries. Just visit the PSI website at psiweb.org to learn more about PSI activities and become a PSI member today. Hello, welcome to another episode of The Effective Statistician. And today I have a really, really nice topic that we are talking about with two other people that are partners in crime, so to say, on the visualization area. Hi, Rachel. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Hi, Alexander.
Hi, Alexander.
I'm good. Okay. It's really great to talk today about visualization, because it's a reoccurring theme here in the podcast. It's a reoccurring theme for PSI. There has been lots of sessions about visualization in the past. Yeah, just recently we formed the visualization special interest group as well. And so through that we will move forward a couple of nice initiatives, which we will cover later today. But first, let's introduce the guests today. So Rachel, maybe you can tell us shortly what brought you to where you are now, and what's your interest in visualization?
Hi. I've been a clinical trial statistician working in academia for about 7 years now, and I'm currently researching how we can improve the analysis and reporting of adverse events in clinical trials. And through that, I've sort of fallen into visualization as a way that we might improve the reporting of adverse events. So that's how I got here.
Very good. So really very much the safety side. And I think visualizations has always played a big role in there. There's a lot of initiatives that set up, you know, specific visualization types for that area. And it's interesting because it's a little bit different than the typical efficacy side. Mark, how about you?
I would call myself now a data scientist. I work in a group at Novartis called Advanced Methodology and Data Science. It used to be called Statistical Methodology and Consulting. We support 450 statisticians and modelers within clinical development, provide consultant support on design of experiments to reporting and analysis of experiments, even to exploratory analysis later on. And that's where visualization is really important, from helping people understand assumptions right through to the reporting and communication of results. And if you think about, sometimes we work with very complex problems, being able to translate that into information that our partners can understand is really important. And that's where visualization is the key to this.
I completely agree. And I've been getting into visualization quite a lot through my work in the medical affairs and the HTA area, because medical affairs, it's all about communication of your data in a way that is easily understandable by all the different customers, being it the key opinion leader, you know, up to the prescribing GP at the other end, but also more and more patients or caregivers that are involved. And in terms of visualization, one event that really got me thinking much more about visualization is when about 15 years ago, I spent a day with a sales rep. So that was a quite interesting event. I was the general manager at the time, was making everybody that was sitting in the back office, not Salesforce, have one day spent with the sales rep. So we were then distributed all across Germany to spend a day with the sales rep. And I was with the sales rep in Munich and going to 11 different psychiatrists. And it was quite interesting. Sometimes, you know, the person had just 2 minutes with the physician. And what can you tell in 2 minutes? How can you, get a message across in 2 minutes? The only way you can do that is visualizations. And in one of his folders, I actually saw a Kaplan-Meier curve I had done for one of the studies. And I said, that's cool. That traveled from my desk through the whole organization up to the sales rep who is now talking with the physician about it. And so that I was thinking, but where are all the tables that I'm creating all the time? Yeah, they end up nowhere, or they are then kind of converted into visualization so that people can actually understand it. So for me, that was one of these aha moments in my career where I said, that's where we can have a huge impact as statisticians. So what are your stories about kind of why visualization is important for us statisticians?
I could follow up on just your story there, where just in the past couple of days, we've been developing an internal training at Novartis on visualization, or we're calling it effective visual communication. And to get material to try and motivate why this is important, we looked at a slide deck that the Novartis Executive Committee presented to investors. And this is a 100-page slide deck with overviews of our entire portfolio. And I'd say about 80 or 90% of the visualizations came from the statistics group in clinical development. Again, it's Kaplan-Meier curves or longitudinal plots. And you can see the importance here of communicating that information to external parties. And that's where getting this right can have a real impact. And I think that's an important thing. That's an important aspect of the job as a statistician that we really, really focus on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we haven't talked about Wall Street. There's lots of stakeholders, internal and external. So Rachel, do you have a story where visualization helped a lot?
It's not so much a story, but it's more the opportunity I see. So with adverse event data, it can be quite complex to communicate. And you typically see that information reported in 2x2 tables. And it's really, really hard to work out what's going on there and potentially flag anything from those 2x2 tables. So for me, it's the potential story of what that visualization can help us see for some quite complex data.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the complex data can come in many forms. So when I think about AEs, and there's so many of them, you know, if you have a bigger study, especially if you have also a longer study, nearly every patient will have an AE at one point. And to then grasp this overall information of hundreds and hundreds of AEs, and they belong then to different system organ classes and whatsoever, and they have different lengths and different severity and seriousness, and there's so many dimensions in there that it's really, really difficult to grasp that. And so just having listings for that is nearly impossible to get a good understanding. Yeah,
but that is what people are relying on. So it's, I think for me, it's trying to encourage change there.
Yeah, absolutely. One person, I probably have talked about the story a couple of times in my leadership program, who was going to a safety physician and asking, well, what do you do with all the listings that you get from stats? And that safety physician said, well, I scroll through them, spend a couple of hours, maybe a day, scrolling through them upwards, downwards, sidewards, trying to understand the data. And then I make a decision of whether we increase the dose or not. and the statistician said, wow, okay, turn around, developed an Arshiny app so he can easily visualize it, presented it to the safety physician, and he said, wow, now I can do this task that took me a couple of hours in 15 minutes. Awesome. Yeah. So that is, I think, another area where we can see it's just much faster. You can grasp much more details in an easier way. You can, you know, especially if you can interact with the data, you can filter it, you can sort it, you can, you know, have lots of ways you can compare the data very, very fastly. That helps just a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
So, Mark, you mentioned in your company, you have this training. It looks like there's a lot of investment from Novartis in this field. So what kind of priority does that have within your company?
I would say it's quite a high priority at the moment. At least for the past, I would say since I joined Novartis, there's been ongoing initiatives on graphics or visualizations. And it started off where, how do we convert from tables to graphs so that we as you spoke before, are the tables and listings really the effective way to visualize or communicate information, particularly if you have large volumes of information within one table? We had an initiative called the Graphics Workstream that was centered around how do we promote or improve the use of graphics within Novartis. That has been superseded by the new technologies like Shiny as well. And we have an initiative called Advanced Visual Analytics. And it's really speaking towards this approach of, if you have hundreds of preferred terms and someone needs to identify if there's a signal there, what's the best way of presenting that information and also being interactive so that you can start to cut and look at information in different ways. So Novartis has really invested quite a lot of time and effort, particularly in the statistics group, to think about these types of problems.
Yeah. I see that also in other companies, and I can say it here at UCP, there's also a couple of different initiatives that drives this forward, because there's also much more demand now. And I think we have other industries that are leading the way and where we can learn from. And I think there's a couple of resources that we may talk about later where people can learn from. But coming to you as, you know, statisticians personally, what do you love about working on visualization?
I think for me, it's just that contrast between if you just have tables of information and then showing how you can do that visually, what the impact of that, the time it saves you, but also how quickly you get that message and how much easier it is to see the message. You've got to get the visualization right for that. I think into that, what I hate about visualization is how if you don't get it right, you can distort the message, or you can sort of confuse the message. But I think once you get it right, it can give a much quicker and easier message with a good visualization.
Yeah. Mark, what is, you know, for you personally, what do you love about visualization?
I think I never really thought about it in depth for a while, but I was always drawn to visualizing data, and rather than have it listed, I would try to think of a way just to present it in a visual way, even just for myself. I remember during my PhD, I worked with high dimensional data, and the outputting that data into tables or data sets just wasn't an option. You had to visualize it. And then one day I watched an online video by someone called John Rouser, and he sort of summed it up where he talked about visualizations, a kind of hybrid between art and science. And that's really, I think, why I'm drawn to it, is there's something creative about it as well as the scientific aspect. And I think once you marry the two together, you really have an impactful vehicle to communicate.
Yeah, absolutely. There's absolutely an art to it as well. And because it's not kind of, you know, black and white. It's not, this is a way you can do it and everything else is wrong. There's usually always trade-offs involved. You know, if you have a certain message, then, you know, you select that graphic type. If you have want to focus on another part, then you have another type. What do you include in the visualization? What do you leave out of the visualization? There's always trade-offs that you need to make between simplicity and complexity. If you want it to be very, very interactive, then it becomes really complex. Or do you want it to be easy, but then you need to make design choices in terms of saying, okay, you limit the options for the user, maybe limit even the data that the user can see, so that it becomes easier for the user. So I think that is where it has a lot to do also with all the science about user experience and user interface design, things like that. But where also lots of graphic design comes into play. But in terms of data visualization, there's also a couple of interesting principles. Mark, what comes to mind for you when we talk about visualization principles?
Yeah, there is a number. I mean, at Novartis, we thought about ways of measuring the impact of visualization. And before we could even measure that impact, we had to think, well, what would we measure? And then we focused on what are the core principles that make a graph good? You know, why do you like one graph over another? It can't be just intuition. And so we looked at a whole range of principles and tried to boil them down into a list. And I think the most important one that stood out was you have to be clear on your purpose for the visualization. And that's something that's always often overlooked, is what's your objective for that visualization? Is it to influence someone? Is it to make a decision? Is it to explore the data? And I think once you're clear on that principle, are you trying to explain or to explore, then everything follows naturally. And I think that's the one principle that's always overlooked, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it starts with, you know, you need to have the framework in which you operate in mind. Exactly. You know, a visualization that is standalone in a publication is something completely different than, you know, the visualizations that we talked about earlier, where you interact with to understand all your safety data. Yeah. Okay. So that has completely different aspects to it. Or if you view it on a big screen in a conference room, or whether you see it on your laptop and you interact with it one to one, that is, there's lots of side conditions.
Yeah, and I often see that a lot, where you can see a graph or a visualization that has been designed for a clinical study report, and then that's copy and pasted into a presentation, internal or external, and they don't translate often.
Yeah.
The font size is too small, etc. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, you don't want to have long footnotes and, you know, all the different titles and subtitles and sub-subtitles. Exactly. on a presentation at a big conference. And also, if you want to use color, maybe, you know, in your report, it's just black and white, but probably you want to have color at a conference.
Yeah, exactly.
Rachel, what's on your mind when it comes to visualization principles?
For me, the key thing is to keep it as simple as you can. Don't try and explain everything in one visualization, throwing all sorts of data at it. It can be, just keep them simple and don't clutter them with information that we don't need. And yeah, be clear on what the message is of that visualization.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's this design principle that a design is then really, really good if you can't take away anything anymore. Yeah. Yeah. It's not design is good when you can't add anything anymore.
Yeah.
And so I always think about an iPhone or other things from Apple that is really, really minimalistic. And I think that is also, if you have a nice graph that, you know, you take out maybe grid lines or tick marks or 3D effects and other kind of distorting effects that don't help you, you know, make sure that all the title and the axes are aligned. Can you get rid of the legend and bring it into the graph instead of, you know, having everything separated out? So there's a lot of design aspects about making it visually appealing. What do you think about this aspect of having a beautiful graph?
I think it depends what the purpose of your graph is. I don't oppose beautiful graphs. I tend to produce much more simple, basic visualizations. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I would agree it's on the purpose. But I think if you want to make an impact, then I think you can focus on the beauty. But if you want to be effective, then I think it's back down to this principle. Just put in as much information as you need to get your point across. I think this is probably going to be wrong, but there's a German quote from Dieter Rams, it's vinegar aber besser, less is better. Yeah. And I think that's the principle for if you want to be effective. But if you want to make a visual impact, then I think beauty is probably the way to go.
I sometimes think like it's just much more enjoyable to look at a beautiful graph. And the beautiful doesn't mean that there needs to be, you know, all the dots are not dots, but flowers or something like this. That's not what I mean, but it's visually appealing. Yeah. So the colors are at ease. They look good together, things like that. So it's not like you look at it and you think that hurts looking at it. Yeah. The colors are screaming at you. And I think there's a value in having a beautiful graph because then people want to interact with it, want to engage with it. You mentioned the simplicity. What do you think about, you know, a little bit more innovative graphs? Yeah, so when people maybe are used to seeing a bar chart or a line chart, doing a little bit different, so something like, you know, an area chart or a waterfall plot or something that is divergent, something that is a little bit unusual. What do you think about that?
I think you need to think carefully about your audience and their ability to be able to understand that. And also whether you will have the opportunity, if it is to explain the different components of it. So if you're doing it in a presentation, for example, and you can go through it to help people understand, I think that's great. But I think you do need to be careful about where they're used.
Yeah. Mark, what's your thought?
Being a typical conservative statistician, I think the innovation isn't really needed. So I always tend to think, will someone understand a new display, like say the general public, if you have an area chart, will they get what you're trying to convey there? But on the other hand, recently I've seen an example here where for one of the like indications, like say rheumatoid arthritis, you have these composite endpoints where you collapse say 70, 80 measurements into one single number. And a team looked at a way of visualizing that information in a different way, and they used a skeleton as the basis to essentially provide a heat map where you could say at baseline you have red, the patient is has inflamed joints, and then you have treatment and the colors go to blue. So essentially the joints go from one color to another. From a statistical point of view, that'd be very hard to measure. But from a aesthetic or an impact perspective, that really did make a difference. And so it depends on the purpose, but I always go towards the conservative side. That's just my nature.
To be honest, one of the visualizations that really inspired me is this visualization that Hans Rosling did together with the BBC about 200 years of 200 countries, how they develop in terms of life expectancy and average income. And you see that how, you know, these different bubbles representing the different countries, how they change over time. If you see how often this video is looked at, how often it's cited, how often it's, you know, used to showcase something, I think there's sometimes places for these more innovative ideas. But I agree, Mark, it's a trade-off. Yeah. So you need to know about what is, do you really want to take the risk of doing something more innovative to stand out? But of course, if you stand out, you might also confuse people if you're not good in explaining what you're showing. So yeah, you need to have the time also to explain it. So that's a couple of pros and cons to that as well. Okay, now we talked about a couple of visualization principles. We talked about minimalistic design. We talked about the beauty of it, interactivity, that it's important to understand in which conditions these visualizations are used, what you want to achieve with it, setting a clear goal at the beginning. And I think these are all topics that, you know, we want to help overall statisticians understand more about. This podcast episode is one way to do it, but we are thinking about a couple of other ways to do it. And that's why we founded the visualization stick. And there's, you know, it's not just the three of us. There's a couple of others on that as well. But having a podcast with, you know, too many people gets really, really difficult. So Rachel, Mark, what made you join the visualization sick? Or Rachel, did you were forced in by me?
No, I think it came at a very timely, your invitation came at a very timely point where I was thinking about how I could maybe connect with different people to explore what they were doing in terms of visualization. And so I think this gave me an opportunity to actually to learn from you guys, but also to get my message out there about how we could maybe use visualizations to add this event data.
Yeah, very good.
And a Mark? Little bit of a twist in my arm.
From my point of view, I am just very interested in this topic. And I work with another initiative called Stratos that focuses on observational data. And we've set up a visualization panel. Rachel has also agreed to join. The thing that drives me is when I was a trained statistician going through my undergraduate degree, we didn't talk about the graphics at all. We didn't talk about graphical principles. And this is something that I've learned on the job. And I think this is something that hopefully as a profession we can improve, and I'd like to be part of that.
Yeah.
I completely agree.
Yeah. I think that these are very common reasons to join a SIG, but you need to be passionate and interested on the topic. Okay. So there's a couple of different ways the SIG wants to help the overall community. Surely there will be training and one day events and things like that is coming up. But today we want to talk specifically about a project that we came up with the innovative name of Wonderful Wednesdays. The goal of this is for me to give statisticians the ability to learn more about visualizations in a practical sense in with data and with questions and problems that we all face on a day-to-day basis. And so not learn visualization with, let's say, some data about beer consumption in Germany, but Airbnb data whatsoever, but really about the clinical biological data that we deal with all the time. Rachel, Mark, who would like to talk a little bit about what we are going to do?
I guess I should give context to the wonderful Wednesdays as well. So there is the make of a Monday and then tidy Tuesday, and I guess with wonderful Wednesday it's this idea of practicing your art on realistic examples, this idea of active learning. So instead of it being theoretical, you learn by doing in an environment where I guess the stakes are low. So if you learn on the job doing this example, like through examples, then it's not so critical. And I think this is a good way to learn, but also to do this as a community where you can learn from others, I think is a really impactful idea. I believe this should make an impact.
Who will benefit from participating in these wonderful Wednesdays?
I would say anyone that has to work or even consume data. So this could be our stakeholders, clinical scientists, medical writers. It could be statisticians, statistical programmers. But I would even widen it up, data scientists, machine learning experts. Anyone that has to work with data, I think, could benefit. That could be from hands-on experience to even just understanding the general principles of why this works and why this doesn't work.
Absolutely. Rachel, what's your thought on that?
Yeah, I was just thinking it's anyone that is handling data and needs to produce output from data, but also, again, those that consume that information could be really helpful to work out, to work with us doing this. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think also anybody that needs to, you know, explain data, communicate data, these type of people, this will surely benefit from it. And of course, you know, you can take part in this initiative as a you know, just an individual or maybe as a team. Yeah, you know, so that will be, I think, the fun part. Okay, in terms of how that will work is we will present each month a data set together with an example visualization. And this data set will be some kind of made up data, but it will reflect something that we see actually in real life. So like a clinical study or an observational study or retrospective database analysis, anything that, you know, we work on in a daily basis. And then to think about, okay, how can we take this data set, take this example and have a look at it and better display it, better communicate it. Maybe also, you know, in the future, we'll look into dashboards and things like that. And then the idea is that people can download these data sets from the homepage of the SIC, which we will host on the psiweb.org homepage where all the SICs are. And then you can use any tool you like to improve it. Yeah. Whether it's Excel or R or SAS or what other thing you can come up with. The only thing that we, and then you can submit it back to the SIG. And then one month later, we will have another webinar where we will go through all the different submissions and speak about them. It depends a little bit on how many submissions we get. probably at one point we need to pick choose a couple of them. But it's then the idea is that we speak about them, what's good, what maybe could be optimized, what could be done differently, so that people by understand these different visualization principles by exploring real case studies rather than, you know, just seeing something in a book or on the web. And I think if you have then interacted yourself with the data because you yourself wanted to produce something, then you already understand where the pitfalls are, where the problems are. So just by doing that, that will help you a lot to improve your visualization skills. Mark, Rachel, anything to add there?
What would be nice about this is by going through these examples, we should build a community, I guess, resource of how to implement these examples. So if you want to understand how to execute a specific graph that you like, the code should be made available as well. So this is really just growing a resource of how to do this through a community exercise.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll need have a nice gallery with data set, code, and the graph so that you can, you know, take it and adapt it for your needs. Okay. I think that is a great episode about visualization. We talked a lot about what the role of the visualization is in our conference, in our companies. We talked about what are different principles and why it's important for us as statisticians to invest in learning these principles so that we can convey the message and not confuse the message, as Rachel mentioned, because especially with visualization, if you mess it up, you may do more harm than help. So, and most of us are never, you know, formally taught about these kind of things. We might pick up a little bit of a trick here and there at our day-to-day work, but here now we have the opportunity to learn in a much more structured, but also hands-on way how to improve our visualization skills. And to be honest, I think that will elevate the impact that we can have as a function overall much more. Then we can provide much more value to medical overall, the medical community overall, and make sure that better decisions are made in a faster way. So thanks so much, Mark, Rachel, for this interview. It was a pleasure.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Alexander.
Okay. As a listener, just go to the show notes. There you will find all the links, including the link to the homepage of the Visualization SIG, where you can find the details about upcoming webinars, about the data sets. And in, over time, then hopefully also a couple of examples from previous webinars. So if you listen to this in the future, hopefully you'll see lots of examples there. Okay, then talk to you next week. Bye. So I very, very much hope that you enjoyed this podcast episode as much as I did. We actually missed one really, really important information. We will start with this first webinar where you get the first time data and graphs that you can then update and improve on the 11th of March. Thereon, it will be, yeah, then always the second Wednesday of the month. So just go to the PSI homepage where we host the special interest groups homepage, and there you can learn about all the dates and what has been done if you listen to this already in the future. This show was created in association with PSI. Thanks to Rain, who helps with the show in the background, and thank you for listening. As I said, you know, you can find all the show notes and the links to the SIG homepage, all that you can find on theeffectivestatistician.com. So, just one last comment. Please tell your colleagues about this podcast if you like it. And like always, I finish with reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients. Just be an effective statistician.